Okay, I wanted to talk to you tonight about this time of year. And in particular, I want to talk to you about Yom HaZikaron, which is right now. I want to talk to you about Yom HaTzmut, which is Mirtz Hashem tomorrow night, Thursday, and share some of my perspective. And I think these days, for a lot of people are confusing. You come to yeshiva, and there's controversy. What's our attitude towards these kinds of very, very Israeli kind of days? And I think there's an even greater confusion here in Mevaseret, because you have a lot of different types of rabbeim here. And this one holds this, and this one holds this, and you have different kinds of approaches. That's part of, I think, what Mevaseret, at least what I feel is actually valuable, is to understand that there's subtlety, and there is nuance, and there is complexity, and part of your challenge is given who you are as a person, given how you were raised, and your family, and your community, is to find your way, is to find your mahalach and your hashkafa, etc. And I think these days kind of create confusion. And I don't. My agenda here tonight is to share with you my feelings. Not they don't have to be everyone's feelings. People can disagree, but this is my perspective. And I think part of the confusion arises is that I think there's a feeling, especially when you're in this kind of shana aleph, shana bet. I'll call it the bubble, and you came from a certain place, and now you're in yeshiva, and you're studying, and you're looking at, sometimes you're looking at certain people critically, and maybe you're past in a certain way, in an immature, critical way, and you know, we're kind of trying to figure things out, and I think there is a phenomena sometimes that, we see people that, like, look very frum, and the frumer you look, the more you, like, don't hold of these kinds of days. So it must be by association, if I'm holding of these kind of days, that must mean I'm less from or something like that. And there's like, again, a bilbul, a confusion. So I, again, as I say, I am not here to tell you that this is the only mahalach, but I'm going to share with you my perspective on this, and that's it. That's what you're going to get from me tonight. We're going to start with Yom HaZikaron. And Yom HaZikaron, I think, is very, very simple and straightforward. It is not complex. There is if you're Americans, they have this day called it. How do you translate Yom HaZikaron into English? Memorial Day. So you're familiar with a day called Memorial Day on your calendar. And what Memorial Day means to you on your calendar probably means, it's a good day to have weddings, an extra, like an extra Monday off. It's the beginning of summer. It's like, you know, there's some barbecues going on, maybe not, but it's like the first day of summer. In the baseball games on that Memorial Day, they will, before commercial breaks, they will say some platitudes and some tributes to our troops and our armed forces, give them a big yasher koyach, maybe a aircraft, you know, flying over the stadium to recognize our soldiers, and basically that's it. That's Memorial Day in this country. Memorial Day, I can't even say the words, Memorial Day. Yom HaZikaron is real. It's real. There's not one single family in Israel that has not somehow been touched on a personal level by a loss as a result of either terrorism or the wars that this country has been literally built on. It's a sad day. Tonight, you want to go out to a restaurant, you will not be able to go to a restaurant because the restaurants are closed. Places of entertainment are closed. You put on a radio station and you will only hear sad type of music. It is a day of national avelus. And what are we mourning? We're basically mourning, the number is to date, 23,928 Jews. Jews that died on some level of Mesiras Nefesh. Either being terrorist attacks or because they were soldiers, and as a result of their being here and trying to enable the country to be a safer place for everyone else, they perished. It's a strike, 23,928. It's just about 24,000. Just about. Talmid Rabbi Akiva, also during this period of time, 12,000 pairs of Talmid and 24,000. That's basically the number that we have that we are commemorating today. From last year to this year, 43 added to the list. 43 Jews added to the list. And who are these soldiers? And unfortunately, and I really say that in a real way, every year we try to bring the yeshiva, we bring the yeshiva to Har Herzl. At some point, on Yom HaZikaron, we bring the yeshiva to Har Herzl. Har Herzl is the national cemetery for fallen soldiers in Israel. And last year, of course, we couldn't. And this year, unfortunately, they're only opening up Har Herzl to direct families of people that were lost. But when you go to Har Herzl, you should go to Har Herzl. You know, tomorrow you won't be able to go, but you should go at some point. You should go to Har Herzl. Take a Tuesday afternoon and go to Har Herzl. It's a very famous and beautiful story that is told by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. Gadol B'Yisrael, unquestionable Gadol B'Yisrael. And it was springtime, towards the summertime. And there were Tamidim in his yeshiva, Kol Torah, in Bayit V'gad, who kind of were giving a little burnout, as you get sometimes towards the end of a year. And they said to the Rosh Yeshiva, they asked the Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe, we want to take a day or two off, refresh, regroup. We want to travel to Tzfat to visit Kibrei Tzadikim. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said, Tzfat, it's a 3.5-hour bus ride to visit Kibrei Tzadikim. Why would you travel so far to visit Kibrei Tzadikim, 3.5 hours? You can go 3 blocks away to Har Herzl, and you have so many Kibrei Tzadikim right over here. You want to go and daven at Kibrei Tzadikim? People that were most in nefesh for Klal Yisrael, you don't have to travel very far. And when you go to Har Herzl, you will see a lot of graves. I don't know what the number is. It's not the 24,000, but it's a lot of graves. They all are essentially the same. And when we go, we visit certain people, famous people and not so famous people. And you'll see, for example, a famous person, Yoni Netanyahu. I don't know if you recognize that name. The last name you probably do. Yoni Netanyahu was the one person who died in the Entebbe rescue back in the mid-70s. He was a very, very decorated soldier, and he's the one soldier that died in that rescue. And right next to him, he was a general, like right way up there. And right next to them, same exact kever, same exact is a private Plony Ben Plony. And it doesn't matter. They are both Jews who were Moser Nefesh for us. And when you think about so many of those people that are buried in Har Herzl and other military cemeteries throughout the country, many of them are or were 19-year-old boys, 20-year-old boys, 21-year-old boys, 18-year-old boys who in the prime of their lives got drafted, which that's what the typical Israeli will do. Gets drafted. And gives. If you're a Hesder Yeshivanik, 5 years learning and army. If you're not Hesder, 3 years. My son was in a Haredi unit, did 2 years. But in the prime of their lives, your age, are giving to serve. And it's something that you guys should be thinking about. What your Israeli counterparts do. Some want to, and some are forced to. It doesn't make a difference, but they do. They serve their country. They serve their people. They serve their nation. And as their Moser Nefesh, we should think about ourselves as well. Shana Aleph guys, Shana Bet guys, what are you thinking about as you're 18, 19, 20 years old? You're thinking, perhaps should I stay another year in Israel? College, career, what major should I embark upon? That's not what the typical 18, 19-year-old Israeli is thinking about. He's thinking about the army. He's thinking about those years. Some will do more time. But it's a stage. And it's a stage which I will define from a religious perspective as a stage of Mesiris Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Not as well known as that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach story, but Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva, died in 1978. But it was well known that after the 1967 war, while there was so-called peace, there was something known as the War of Attrition between the Egyptians and the Jews. And basically, there was a low-level war going on. Attacks here, attacks there, fighting here, fighting there. Soldiers died. And every time a Jewish soldier died, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva, went into the Beis Medrash, clapped on the bima, and he said, who here in this Beis Medrash can say, Yadenu lo shofcha es hadam hazeh? Our hands did not spill this blood. Because he believed, in a way that perhaps not as many people believe today, that yes, the Yeshiva Bachrim were also involved in protecting the country. And the Limra Torah, and the mitzvos, and the Mesiris Nefesh and Beis Medrash was also part of, if you will, the Israeli Defense Forces. And therefore, if an Israeli soldier died, it was because the Beis Medrash wasn't strong enough. It was because the other forces were not doing their job, and he was critical of his Tamidim for causing Rachman Litzlan, Yadenu lo shofcha es hadam hazeh. Could they really say it? In 1973, when we were at war, when he saw a soldier at the Kotel or anywhere else, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz stood up for him to show him proper respect, to recognize the fact that he was being moser nefesh for the Jewish people. Every one of us has the ability to sit here and learn Torah and go to Yerushalayim and experience the things we experience because we have brothers and yes, also sisters that are being moser nefesh, that are giving of themselves. And sometimes families are paying the ultimate price. And it is a price. And to be in this part of the world as a Jewish country, in Israel, surrounded by tens of countries that are enemies. Baruch Hashem, that number might be reducing a little bit. But still, so many enemies. And sometimes we have a peace, but we'll call it a cold peace. And sometimes it's not a peace whatsoever. It's a lot of enemies around us. And to live here, to be a Jewish country, requires this mysterious nefesh. There is a price to pay. And part of what today is, tonight and tomorrow, is to tap in a little bit to that sense of mysterious nefesh, a little bit of modern Jewish history, and to understand what Israeli families, and non-Israeli families, that so many people are mourning tonight and tomorrow. And tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we will have a speaker in the morning, 9:30, a Rav who taught here and just loves Eretz Yisrael, loves Israel. But he'll share with you some of his insights into these days. And then after that, we'll be going on a tiyul. Not a climbing tiyul. An educational tiyul. A tiyul with Eitan Rundt, where he will bring you back in a real way, in a powerful way, to 1948, and what things were like in Yerushalayim. And to get a sense, a little sense, tap in to what it means to be a little Israeli, and to appreciate what goes on over here, the stories of sacrifice. When we go to Har Herzl, again, it won't be tomorrow, but in the past when we've gone, Eitan has always taken us. And he shows us, we at the end of the trip, we end up like just kind of sitting, and he speaks closing remarks on a nice, beautiful patch of green grass. And you're in the middle of a cemetery, sitting, standing on this patch of green grass. And Eitan tells us, you know what you're sitting on? Looks like a patch of green grass. And he says, yeah, it is a patch of green grass right now. But in 2-3 years from now, 5 years from now, 7 years from now, this patch of green grass is also going to be graves. Because that's part of what it means to live here. And unfortunately, the Herzl expands. Doesn't shrink. It expands. And things happen. There are terrorists. And there are continued needs for Mesiras Nefesh. So as we reflect a little bit, seriously reflect, it's a time to think. It is a national day of Avelos. And I don't think this is controversial. Anyone who's like real about it understands there's been a lot of Mesiras Nefesh to enable us to be here, to live here, to experience amazing things here. And I will tell you, Yom HaZikaron is really not, even though I just told you, yes, Har Herzl is only open to the families tomorrow. Yom HaZikaron is not for the families. You know, the three boys that were kidnapped and lost, that captured the Jewish world's attention for those week or two in the summer, that's 6-7 summers ago. The families of those three boys, they don't need Yom HaZikaron. They miss and they mourn their sons every single day. The brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers of fallen soldiers, they don't need Yom HaZikaron. They remember and mourn their children and brothers and sisters and fathers every single day. The people who need Yom HaZikaron are us. People who have not experienced it personally, but need a little something to tap in. To think a little bit about our brothers the same exact age and what they're doing and what they're preparing for as they graduate high school. And think about ourselves. We, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to do the army. It's not a bad thing. I'm not pushing the army right now. But what I am saying is, recognize the midah of Mesiras Nefesh, recognize the appreciation, and recognize, yes, like Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, your role too, and the role of the Torah community, and the role of the Beis Medrash boys who are not on the front necessarily. And if some of you choose to do that at some point, Ashreichem, if it's the right thing, but appreciate your role in Mesiras Nefesh. Reflect, think, connect. Tomorrow night, there's a transition that takes place. And it's very striking. It's a little jarring. You go from national Avelus to Yom Ha'atzmaut, to celebration. And on some level, it is, again, in the country, it's Miyagon LaSimcha. And it actually, to me, is meaningful. Because you have to understand, whether, again, we'll talk about Yom HaTzmut a bit momentarily. But whatever your stance towards Yom HaTzmut is, let's say you celebrate, and you're into, and your Yom HaTzmut is a chag, or a holiday for secular people. But to understand that you don't get to celebrate Yom HaTzmut without the sacrifice of Yom HaZikaron. The freedom and the independence and the sovereignty that we have and the ability to be here on Yom Ha'atzma'ut is because of the Mesiras Nefesh that is represented by Yom HaZikaron. So it's really appropriate. It makes a lot of sense. First, Yom HaZikaron. Tap into that. Understand, appreciate the price and the costs in order to then celebrate Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Is it worth 23,928 Jewish souls? Hard question to ask, but I think the answer is obvious. And if you study Jewish history, we'll take a quick survey. But the ability to have sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael is of profound significance. And the fact that you're living it, and the fact that you get to sit here, think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 500 plus tefillos. Let me in. Let me at least do some mitzos hatlios ba'aretz. A little. Hashem said, no. Aaron HaKohen. Didn't get it. Miriam. Our greatest Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages, didn't have the opportunity to step here, to be here. And for whatever reason, of Hashkacha, our generation is here. We have the opportunity. That's something that's exceptionally, exceptionally significant. There's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara says, at the end of time, not at the end of time, but at the end of our time, B'shah Shemachnisim Adam Ladin. When we, after 120 years, go upstairs, Hashem is going to ask us some questions. He's going to ask us, number one, Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. Were you honest in business? Were you an ethical person? Did you treat people fairly or did you cheat them? Second question, Kavata itim la Torah. Did you make Torah a staple of your daily existence every single day? Third question, Asakta bepiria verivya. Were you focused just on the here and now? Or were you involved in building towards a future? Were you just focused on yourself, or you were involved in building Klal Yisrael, the next generations and the generations after that? And the fourth out of six questions is, Tzipisa li Yeshua. Did you think about Yeshua, salvation, about Mashiach, about the future, about redemption, about Geula? And I think one of the themes of these questions, especially the fourth one, is we live in a world and in a society and a culture where our focus is us. So often I get the question, I'm really going to work on my learning this month. I need to work on my davening. I want to appreciate my Judaism. My. And the questions that we're being asked is, you need to think bigger. Tzipisa li Yeshua says, think about bigger things than just mine. Think about your nation. Think about your country. Think about Mashiach. Think broader. Think about what you are doing to bring Mashiach. Tzipisa li Yeshua. What are you yearning for? What are you striving for? How are you extending yourself? What do you feel about being part of the Jewish nation? Because as long as we're in Chutz La'aretz, we become Chutz La'aretz Jews. And today, tomorrow, this period of time is a time that I'm going to try and focus you a little bit about thinking about life in Eretz Yisrael, living in Israel. What that means to be really part of a nation. And everything you're breathing, the language, the holidays, the mezuzahs on the government doors, the culture is Jewish. And everyone speaks as their mitzvah to live in Israel. And everyone likes to quote the Rambam. Why do I like to quote the Rambam? Because the Rambam in his Minyan HaMitzvah 613, guess what he omits? He omits Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And who takes him to task? The Ramban. And the Ramban says, you missed a mitzvah, a big mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So anyone who wants to like justify their existence in Chutz La'aretz says, I'm good. All I need to do is quote the Rambam. There's no mitzvah. So I'm good. Correct? So I'm going to read the Rambam to you. I'm going to read the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim Perek Vav. Sorry, Perek Hey. Halacha Tes. Listen carefully. Aser latzeis me eretz Yisrael lechutz la'aretz le'olam. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He qualifies. Ella, lilmo Torah. If you're learning Torah, it's going to be better than chutz la'aretz, you can go. Lisa Isha. If you can't find a Jewish girl in Eretz Yisrael, you can go. Lahatzel min ha'akum. If the goyim are chasing you down, you got to run away, you can leave Eretz Yisrael. Learning Torah, save your life, Lisa Isha. And then he says, but once you solve that issue, v'yachzor la'aretz, and then come back. You got a wife? Then come back. That's the Rambam says there's no mitzvah. Oh, then he says, V'chein, you're allowed to yotzei hu l'schora. You need to leave for business? You can leave for business. Aval lishkon b'chutz la'aretz. What does lishkon mean? To dwell in chutz la'aretz? Aser. It's aser. Elo in Cain, unless chazak shom ha'ra'av, if the famine in Eretz Yisrael is so strong that yeah, and it quantifies it, then you're allowed to leave. Then you're allowed to leave and you're allowed to dwell in chutz la'aretz. Then he says, G'dole ha'chachamim hayu menashkim es al tchumei Eretz Yisrael u'menashkim avoneha u'mizgalgalim al afara. When G'dole Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, what was the first thing they do? They kissed the ground and they rolled in her dirt. This is the Rambam, the halachic sefer, the Mishnah Torah, who says there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Amru chachamim kol hashochin be'Eretz Yisrael avonosav mechulin. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, your sins will be forgiven. Afilu holach bo arba amos, even walking arba amos, zochel chayei olam haba. Then he says, it's even good if you can't live here to be buried here. But eino dome kol tosa mechaim lekol tosa achar mosav. Better to live than to die here. And then he says, wow. La'olam yadur adam be'eretz Yisrael afilu bi'ir shiruba akum. Va'al yadur b'chutz la'aretz afilu bi'ir shiruba Yisrael. Better to live in a city in Eretz Yisrael which is rov goyim than in chutz la'aretz in Lakewood, New Jersey. And he goes on a little bit further. But you get the idea. That's the Rambam. You want to talk about the Ramban? Who says it is a mitzvah? Well, you know the Ramban says about doing mitzvahs in chutz la'aretz. It's like spring training. It's practice for when you get into the major leagues, when you get into the real games, which is here in Eretz Yisrael. But I'm not here to talk to you about Aliyah. Although, a little. But not... I want to talk to you about Yom HaTzimut. And I want to talk to you about the modern state of Israel. And I'm going to say up front, I know it's complicated. And I know the early Zionists and some of the modern Zionists were anti-Torah, anti-religious. I know the history. What I'd like to do is share with you, the way I see it, four approaches that people have to the modern state of Israel, to Zionism, to Yom HaTzimut. Approach number one, and I grant you, it's complicated. And I also am telling you up front, I'm not talking to you halacha. I'm talking to you hashkafa. You want to talk about whether you say halal or don't say halal, tachanun, yes, brachas, no, yes. Those are minute halachic questions. I'm talking to you a little bigger than that. I'm talking to you hashkafa and approach. Four approaches that exist, in my opinion, in the Torah world. Approach number one is that this is, Medina is the beginning of a redemptive process. It's part of what we call Atchalta de Geula, Reishis Smichat Gulasena. Is it perfect yet? No. But just like the sun rises slowly, there are glimmers of light, and then a little more light, and a little more light. Who says Geula doesn't come like Ayelas HaShachar? Kima, kima, slowly but surely, and as we look at the modern state of Israel, we see prophecies coming true. Agriculture, the land, all of a sudden, Jews come back, and the land starts to flourish. For 1,000 years, it's rocks, and doesn't produce anything, Jews come back and all of a sudden starts to produce, as the Navi promised. And the flourishing of the economy and agriculture and everything else is what a Atchalta de Geula person would say is what's called Mashiach ben Yosef. Is the beginning of the physical process, which then will yield later a spiritual process. And it's something to recognize Yad Hashem and say Hallel and special tefillos and all of the above. Is that a Torah approach that is out there? Of course. Atchalta de Geula, and it is symbolized by what I will call the Kipas Ruga Dati Leumi community. They believe Hashem runs the world. And if you believe Hashem runs the world, significant national events like 1948, 1967 are Yad Hashem and have spiritual and religious significance. Approach number two. We'll call this the Satmar approach. And the Satmar approach believes that Zionism is a terrible, terrible avera. And it is, in fact, they believe that the Shoah was a punishment for Zionism. Basically trying to eradicate Torah with nationalism. And whether it was Eretz Yisrael or Uganda, irrelevant. It's about nationalism and a homeland, but it doesn't have to be Israel. And according to this basic Satmar approach, the idea of taking over and having an army and coming back in force is against the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos, famous Gemara of Shalosh Shavuos, where we took a commitment not to do that. And we have to wait till the punishment of Golus is over, and then Hashem will bring us back. And Satmar approach believes that yes, the things that are happening, that we've seen, terrorism, the Shoah, that's Yad Hashem, that is punishing us for improper behaviors. That's approach number two. Again, I'm simplifying this a lot. Approach number four. I'm going to skip three because I hold it. I'm into three. Approach four is, you know what, 2 days from now. You know what Yom HaAtzmaut is? Wait for it. It's Thursday. That's what I call approach number four. You understand what I'm saying? It's Thursday. So you know what you do on Thursday? What you do every Thursday. Nothing changes, nothing different. It has no significance whatsoever. It's Thursday. That's approach number four. Approach number three. Approach number three is the approach that I ascribe to Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal. Rav Soloveitchik in 1956 gave a speech and published an essay, famous essay, 1956, called Kol Dodi Dofek. And just flash back for a second. 1956 means a mere 11 years earlier, 12 years earlier, the Jews were in the Shoah. And they were in crematoria, in places like the six death camps, Belzec, Sobibor, Auschwitz, Majdanek, Chelmno, and Treblinka. 3 years later, 1948, Hakamas HaMedina, and 8 years later, Rav Soloveitchik gave the following idea. And I'm going to modernize it a little bit, because we're well past 1956. Rav Soloveitchik pointed to a perek in Shir HaShir. And Shir HaShir describes the beloved. The woman represents Klal Yisrael, the man represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk describes how the woman is ready to go to sleep. She takes off her day clothing, puts on her nightgown, washes her feet, goes to bed. And then as she's about to fall asleep, there's a knock on the door. Who is it? It's your beloved. Please open up. She says, I'm tired. I already went to bed. Knocks again. Please. I'm tired. I've already washed my feet. Put on my nightgown. Again. Fawn says, am I crazy? My beloved is knocking the door. She quickly gets dressed, opens the door, and of course, her beloved is gone. He left. Rav Soloveitchik uses that perek in Shirashim as a beautiful mashal. And he speaks about what he calls the six knocks of modern Jewish history. And again, this needs to be updated a little bit. But knock number one, I'm going to quote him first. Knock number one is the political knock. Because the East and the West during that time were in a Cold War. Communism, democracy, and they agreed on only one thing. And the one thing they agreed on, and the only good thing that the UN did since its founding, was to recognize the state of Israel. That East and West agreed on. That was knock number one, miraculous, a miracle. Miracle number two is the battlefield. The second knock was in 1948 and beyond. Always Rabin Biyad Ma'atim, a minority of Jews fighting against much bigger armies, and somehow, as we discussed, at great pain and great loss, but we withheld our attackers. And Hashem was constantly, Vayachbed Hashem as Levi Yishmael, just like Parah. And every partition plan, which gave 60, 70% of the country to the Arabs, they always said no. And they went to war. And somehow we won in every stage, not every stage, but many. We actually increased our territory. We got the Golan, and we got the Galil, and we got the Negev. And in 1967, we got Yerushalayim. That's knock number two. Knock number three, he called the theological knock. Because for 2,000 years, the Christians said, your God has forsaken you. Your God has left you, chosen us and left you behind. And now all of a sudden, the biblical promise of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Lezaracha etenes ha'aretz hazos, is once again being fulfilled. And all of a sudden, we're not forsaken. And all of a sudden, the Christians have to recognize the Jews. And the biblical promise is indeed not batel. That was knock number three. Knock number four. Jewish youth and the idealism, which unfortunately we've lost today. I'm not talking about you guys, I'm talking about Israeli youth. But the idealism of Jewish youth in the 30s and 40s and 50s in building this country from nothing was something that was inspirational and meaningful. A Jewish army where Jewish blood is not cheap. And if there's terrorism in Argentina or in France, there'll be Jewish soldiers there as well. And a Mossad that will deal with Iran and take down Iranian nuclear capacities, whatever the case may be. Jewish blood is no longer cheap. Lastly, to Rav Soloveitchik, but I'll add a little bit. A home, a refuge for Jews all over the world, whether from Yemen or Morocco, France or Argentina, Algiers, Tunisia, Ethiopia, Russia, wherever there is anti-Semitism, challenges to living as a Jew, Israel is always open to all Jews. That was said in 1956. We can add a seventh knock, which is a big knock, 1967, and what was accomplished in a six-day war with Yad Hashem. And we can talk about the Israeli economy, and as I mentioned, the agriculture, and the high tech that is going on in this country. And yes, Jews making Waze and other products that are world-renowned, and you can even point to 2021 leading the world in corona vaccinations, things that represent something that is special. So Hashem knocks. Does that mean this is Geula? We are the beloved. And the question is, what do we do when the knocks, when the door is being knocked? Do we stay in bed? I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I've already taken off my nightgown. I've washed my hands and feet. And we stay in bed. Or when the door is being knocked upon, do we rush and open the door? Soloveitchik felt that the Medina and the events of the past 73 years are opportunities, like everything in life. Hashem is presenting himself in a hidden way, in a Hester Panim way. But he is knocking. And he's saying, I'm here. Let me in. Open the door. And it's always on us to respond to these knocks. I heard from a very chashuv Rav, of these four approaches, everyone you can justify on a Torah level, on a Torah hashkafa level, except that it's Thursday. Satmar, you can give up shot. You can give up shot. Religious Zionist sermon of salvation. Thursday. If you believe that Hashem runs the world, I'm not talking about this Thursday in particular. I'm talking about Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. If you believe Hashem runs the world, and you believe Hashem is involved certainly in the big things, it's a big thing. And it needs some kind of recognition. Now, how you recognize? You want to say how? You don't want to say hallel? I'll be honest with you. It's a sideshow. You're missing the main point if you get caught up in halachic minutia. This is bigger and more significant than halachic minutia. Halacha is important, not denying. But you want to say a kapitel tehillim. You want to say chatzi hal full, whatever. There's different shittas, different rationales, different approaches. They're all fine. But I'm talking about a broader kind of hashkafa. When Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, after witnessing Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, how many Jews came out? Chazal tell us 20% came out and 80% died in Mitzrayim. What happened to those 80%? What do you think happened to those 80%? I'll suggest what may have happened to those 80% is they saw things, but it didn't mean anything to them. Yeah, Choshech, it was a solar eclipse. Kriyas Yamsuf, yeah, there was a typhoon, there was a tsunami, things happened, you could explain it away. Mad cow disease, various natural phenomena that happened, you could explain it away. And 20% saw Yad Hashem. This is significant, I have to make moves. And they went ahead and made moves. People say, I don't need Yom HaTzmut. Every single day, the Sechazena in Eidah B'Shukla Tzion, we celebrate every day. That's what I used to tell my mother, Aleha Shalom. Why do we need Mother's Day? Every day is Mother's Day. You know what? If every day is Mother's Day, then Mother's Day gets lost. Then, nah. You need a day. You need a day to say to Mom and to focus on Mom and to make that a priority. So yeah, every day we should appreciate sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. We should thank Hashem every day. But if it's every day, sometimes it gets lost. And therefore, perhaps, something to think about on this day. It's a day of Hakaras HaTov. It's a day to appreciate that you are here, that you have something that your great-great-grandparents davened for and didn't get, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for and didn't get, that Jews for 2,000 years longed for and didn't get. And you look around what we have over here. It's pretty amazing. Sometimes you don't appreciate it. But yes, kibbutz Gullius before our eyes. Seeing Ethiopian Jews and Russian Jews and Yemenite Jews and Moroccan Jews and Jews from Argentina and from France and even some Americans. And some Brits, all coming home. It's pretty amazing. And you see high tech in this country. And you see agriculture. And people making parnasa. And 76 years ago, we're in the middle of Auschwitz. It's pretty amazing. You know what's most amazing? And listen very well. What's most amazing by far is we can say today, more than any other time in the past 2,000 years, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah. Torah used to be Chutz La'aretz based. And for the first time in 2,000 years, Zra'im, Seder Zra'im, 1/6 of Shas, is alive. Halacha L'maisa. Shemitah next year is alive. Halach l'maisa. You go to the Torah centers of the world, you'll find them in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak, in Yerushalayim, in Beit Shemesh, in Sfat. The Gedolei Yisrael are coming out of Eretz Yisrael. Torah's back. The future of Yiddishkeit is here. The national destiny of Klal Yisrael is not in New Jersey or in Borough Park or anywhere else. It's in places like Yerushalayim, Tzfat, Bnei Brak, Beit Shemesh, Modi'in. This is the future of, this is the tzipis of Yeshua. We're watching it before our eyes. One last point, and it's an important point. Gullus, 2,000 years of Gullus, is the equivalent of what I will call Chil Hashem on the highest of levels. Because when the Jewish people, century after century, are subject to pogroms and churbans and persecutions and holocausts and inquisitions, and the goyim laugh at us, as we said in Hallel last week, Lama yomu hagoyim, ayeinah elokeichem. Where is your God as we sweep you into the gas chamber? And then, out of the ashes of Auschwitz, out of the putrefying fumes of crematoria, where all hope is lost and a nation is forlorn, a people is destroyed, something starts to emerge. And psukim in the Navi start to become real. And I'll read you just a quick few psukim. Dvarim, Perek Lamed Pasuk Dalet. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shluscha, Hashem will return us. V'chamech lav mercy. V'shon ki betzcha mikol ha'am. He's going to gather you in. Im yim yidachacha b'ksei Hashemam, you'll be spread out. Mishom yika betzcha Hashem Elokecha u'mishom yika checha. You'll be brought in. And the psukim in Yechezkel, Hanavi. Beautiful psukim. There's a nevuah of Tchias HaMeisim in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Zayin, where the Navi describes what we call the dry bones. Can these dry bones be revived? Is it possible that these dead bones will be revived? And the psukim tell us that Hashem says, "Lachein hinave." Tell the people, Yechezkel, tell them that in the future time, Koma Hashem, hine anochi posech es kibrosechem. I'm going to open up the graves. V'halosi eschem mikibrosechem ami. I'm going to take you out of those graves. You're going to be dead. You're going to be DOA, as we were in 1945. Vehevesi eschem el admas Yisrael. I'm going to bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. Vidaten. And you'll know. Ki ani Hashem. I am God. And I'm going to revive you. Vidaten ki ani Hashem. Dibarti vasis mum Hashem. The nevuah of the dry bones, which query, arguably, is a nevuah that perhaps we see in our days. The goyim for 2,000 years of Chil Hashem. Lama yomru hagoyim. Why do they, would you allow them to say, ayena alokechem? And we have a response. And the response is a response of this week. A response from the Navi Yeshayo. Psukim that you should know by heart. You probably don't, but you should. And the pasuk says as follows: Al har gavoa alilach, I will arise on a tall mountain. Mevaseret Zion. The tall mountain is going to be right outside Yerushalayim. It's called Mevaseret. And from Mevaseret, harimi bakoach kolech, you'll raise your voices from Mevaseret Yerushalayim. Harimi al tirai, nothing to fear. Nothing to be afraid of. Imri la'ara Yehuda, from these hilltops in Mevaseret Zion, you'll call out the response to the goyim. And they say, Ayena Elokeichem. From the hills of Mevaseret Zion, you'll cry out, Hinei Elokeichem. Here is our God.
here is our Lord. It's coming back. So Rabosai, what I want to share with you is I am not, the focus is not the small issues. What you're going to daven on Thursday morning. And yes, in our yeshiva, the minig is to say how without a bracha. That's kleinekeit. It's not the core issue. The core issue is a focus, a hashkafa, and an attitude. What it means to have the land of Israel in Jewish control. What it means to be able to learn Torah here. To see Gedole Yisrael, Torah, Kimitzion Teze Torah. And to see what's happened in this country over the past 73 years. And what's happened to the Jewish people over the past 80 years. And yes, that should cause chills to run up your spine. And you should pinch yourself. And you should appreciate that I have the ability to be here, to learn Torah here, to, yes, be moser nefesh, perhaps in my limud Torah, to have my ups and downs, to live for real, but to also be able to proclaim from these beautiful hilltops overlooking Yerushalayim HaKodesh, where Mashiach will come on his donkey through Mevaseret Zion, as the Navi Yeshayahu says, and to be able to proclaim loud and clear, Hinei Elokeichem.